Wow, let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for our worship this morning, for the reminder of who you are, that as we gather together, we can have a joy in every battle. Because, Lord, we know that's where you'll be. And, Lord, as we have bowed our heads this morning, and we're here gathered in person and online, we acknowledge that we grieve as a body of believers whenever the name of Jesus is defamed, whenever Jesus is made a mockery, and whenever the church becomes defamed. So, Lord, as we gather together this morning, may we do so with open hearts, with a heart of recognizing how desperately this world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we in some small way be agents of that news, be the salt and the light that this world desperately needs. May we exemplify your character, your person, so people do not disbelieve a caricature, but believe the authentic Jesus. So, Lord, we commit this day to you, our time together, and our worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Kids are ready to go to Kids Connection, so they can leave to do that now. Hey, but nice to have you here. Are you glad to be here? I hope you are. Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. What a beautiful summer day, right? Aren't these the days you dream of in January? Come on. Hey. I dream about them in January, so I dream about them for you too. Okay. How's that? Okay. This is the kind of day you want to put on your computer screen and you leave there all year long, right? Amen. Okay. Just a little bit of a technology update before I get into content this morning. On our website, you can go and experience the live stream embedded right on our website for those of you that are doing that this morning. But we're looking at making some changes, which means that we're using a different provider for that. So I think we're going to change it over something like mid-August. So if there's a few technology glitches, remember you can always go to the YouTube channel. That's going to be live because we want to make sure that the chat on both of those platforms are working fine. So we'll continue to warn you about that technology change as we go. Okay? All right, we're talking about abundant life, and I have to admit, this particular topic is in my estimation, a really tough one, and it started one way, but I kind of went in different directions, but here goes. I remember very early on in my life getting my first lesson in how important character was. I think it was about 17 or 18 years old, and many of you may not know this, but in an earlier life, I was a musician, and I played in a number of bands, and had a recording studio at one time, a speaker company another time. Like, I thought music was my entire life. In fact, when I was 18, if you told me I'd be 30 years in the ministry, you would be prime candidate for a brain scan. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like an impossibility that my life would take such a direction. But I was in this one particular group around 17 or 18, and even to this day, and no offense to anybody, some of the best musicians that I ever knew was during part of that season of my life. Like, you know, a number of them went on to play with some, you know, names that out of, maybe for younger ones, you'd have no idea who the groups are, but, you know, but anyway, but I remember this one time, other guys in the group said, hey, we got this new guitarist coming, okay, and he's really good, and you know, I heard rumors about how good this guy was. And I remember the first jam session we had, this guy was able to play solos, like note for note, of really well-known, you know, bands at the time that were, you know, really good guitarists. This guy could play like you would not believe. And you know, when you just have somebody of incredible talent and the whole group just seems to go, like, rise up incredibly, and we were sounding phenomenal, and, you know, it was a real inspiration, to say the least. And we would just play for hours on end because it was just such a joy to do that. And then all of a sudden, we got to know him. I can't repeat the level of ego that this poor guy had. And we're talking, I think he was 19 at the time. Incredible, incredible talent, but was a horrible human being. Horrible human being. Like, his character was so bad. And some of the things that started happening, we started to get associated with. You know, and again, I can't repeat, but it was just really awful. And I remember when all of us got together and said, man, we have to show this guy the door. We have to show this guy the door. There's just no way, as good as he is, and it's just how kind of magical the group sounds when he's there, and the things that he can do, and just the level of musicianship that he raised us up to was just unbelievable. But there was no way we could continue with this individual, because he was just a horrible human being at the time. Just a horrible human being. And I've often wondered many times, if he had character equal to his competency, what would it have been like? What difference would it have been if this person had some element of character that, you know, and by the way, we even tried to talk to him about it. We even tried to say, hey, listen, can you just tone it down a bit, you know, or whatever. But it just didn't work, you know. I'm this prodigy, I'm really good, blah, 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 blah. And you guys are, in fact, I think at one point he said, you guys are nothing without me. Yeah. Anyway. And I've wondered, like I said, I wondered often what difference it would have made. But it was a clear kind of demonstration to me just how important character is, no matter what. And of course, you know, it's an easy thing for us to look at somebody else and say, oh, they're really talented in this area, talented, you know, people follow them for this, they're really good at this, and we would love to have those kind of qualities and abilities and the skills as part of our group and all that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, if character's not there, it doesn't matter the skills they bring. At some point, it's going to derail us and be in a lot of trouble. I think it's Terry Newhoff that says that competency will get you in the room, but character is what's going to make you stay there. So this morning we're going to unpack a little bit from a passage that I think says a lot more than we often take out of it. And it's going to be an important kind of lesson about character, and it's actually tied to healing, believe it or not, okay? This message was supposed to be about healing, and then I got into the passages, and I went, oh, I can't talk about healing if we don't talk about this element of character, okay? That's kind of like part of the passage that I had chosen to talk about, because this passage, when it comes to healing, is virtually ignored in so many areas of Christendom today. And it's very, very important that kind of we unpack it and understand it, or else we might get the wrong understanding about healing when it comes to the evangelical world. All right? So I want to take us to a passage in 2 Corinthians. And this is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is writing this second letter to the church at Corinth, which has caused him all kinds of grief. And he's recounting this experience that he's had. And then he talks about this physical ailment that he's been given, this thorn in the flesh that he's been given. And this thorn in the flesh is something that we don't know exactly what it is, but most understand it to be some kind of physical ailment that has weakened him in some way or another, and it's kind of like a health threat. And we're told in the passage that Paul prayed to the Lord 3 times. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're the Apostle Paul and you're praying to God, you'd probably think you have a little bit of, right, impact. What you have, you know, accomplished for the Lord, that maybe your voice would be heard more than others. That would be the assumption. So Paul is talking about this thorn in the flesh and 3 times that he's prayed to the Lord. And we're told in the passage, let me read the passage and we'll unpack it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And each time God said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now, Paul says, "I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That is such a counterintuitive passage, isn't it? Like, that just doesn't make sense in the human kind of, you know, scene of things. And in fact, we're told in the passage that God allowed this ailment, whatever it was, to stay to prevent Paul from becoming proud, to curb his potential for ego, to curb his potential for maybe bragging about everything that he's done for God. Now, I don't know about you, but man, I rarely hear anyone in this passage talk about how God, in his wisdom, even though it was painful for Paul, is actually protecting Paul's character. What do you think would have happened if Paul had started bragging on himself and started saying, "I did all of this, and isn't it wonderful what I do, etc., etc.?" What kind of impact would that have had to a man who started all these churches across the Mediterranean and wrote, you know, a bulk of the New Testament? How much would that have weakened his testimony? How much would that have weakened the impact that he would have had if he started making it all about himself and not about God? I call that a biblical ouch, because that hurts, doesn't it? That's not an easy thing to take. That's a hard one. To think that the Apostle Paul had to suffer through something because God was protecting his character, and from all the work that he had done for the furtherance and the glory of the kingdom of God. Now, none of us want to be the object lesson of God's glory, because that often means that we have to suffer to one degree or another. And this is exactly what Paul is outlining here, that the power of God now becomes manifest in me, because it's not about me. It's about allowing myself in my weakness for Christ to work through me in a way that glorifies God and exemplifies to the people and the world around me the power of God through me. That's such a hard thing, because it's very hard for us to separate ourselves and to say, no, I'm doing this for God, for His kingdom, for His glory. And often when we're praying for healing, when we're praying for, God to take something away, we're troubled when God says no. We're troubled when God says, not now. We're troubled when God says, I need something more than just healing you. Now, not everybody's the Apostle Paul. I know that. Not everybody has this kind of platform where there's a huge collateral damage if your character doesn't match up to your competency. But we all know someone whose character has let us down, and we've questioned God. We've questioned the church. We've questioned Jesus. We've questioned faith. We've questioned all kinds of things, because suddenly the weakness of that strength of that person is all we see. Now, here's a number of points that I think are important. The genuineness of the Christian message is often directly related to the character of those who carry it. Now, that's not necessarily the people in the church. People in the church can say, oh, he's just being a jerk. We know that the gospel is much more than how they're acting. But people outside the church don't see that. They often, if this is really what you believe, then why aren't you carrying it? We can't believe this is a genuine message of forgiveness when you can't forgive. We can't believe this is a genuine message of mercy when you can't forgive. I don't know about you, but it's almost like I have to say something about the Olympics. Do I even want to go there? No. I am more grieved than angry over the Olympics. Can I just say that? It is just heartbreaking that someone thought doing that was okay. Talk about a gross misunderstanding of the person of Jesus, right? Okay? And I'm more appreciative of the post that talked more about just how grievous this is to Christ and the body of believers in the church, and that sure we can have an element of righteous anger. I'm not saying that that's not acceptable, but I think the greater thing is to say that is really sad that this event, which really has nothing to do with sexuality and religion or anything like that, which is totally, like, you knew it had to be intentional, had nothing to do with any of that stuff, that they thought it was appropriate to have it as part of the opening ceremony. Just very sad, very sad. But here's what we know. A crisis of character is also going to incite a crisis of trust. Okay? That point should be up pretty soon. But a crisis of character also incites a crisis of trust. And we all know that. We all know that we've heard about, leaders in the evangelical world who have fallen and the collateral damage that has happened, and just the effects of what they've done. And all of a sudden, this whole thing of trust, I know of churches that are closing down because of the lack of character of someone that should not have allowed that to happen. Okay? But character is really important. But here's what really blows me away. Paul prayed for healing, but the answer he received had a greater perspective and purpose in view. God was protecting the ministry and the character of Paul. And through that weakness, God was able to do more powerful things through Paul, because he became an open channel, an open vessel to the work of Christ in his life. And sometimes we want to, you know, say, Lord, it's all about me. It's all about my comfort. It's all about, you know, my platform to the world. It's all about, you know, my leadership. It's all about this. When often we should pause and say, but what is this for you? What difference is this going to make to the world if I take a different posture? What difference is it going to make to the world if I decide not to react, but to respond? And to respond in a godly way. Are you guys okay? I thought this was going to be a much more cheery message. Yeah. Profundity is stunning. Okay. All right. Thank you for making me feel better. but isn't that a tough lesson? Isn't that a tough lesson when we find ourselves in a place where, you know, we're struggling with God? God, why are you allowing this? And have we often asked ourselves, maybe this is an opportunity for God to do something in my life through a situation that I could have never manufactured for myself. Maybe, just maybe. You know, I've told you many times, like, you know, when I was originally starting in ministry, I remember ending up in a hospital room, and I think I've told this story too many times for my own good, but, and I'll never forget, this family had gone through this crisis. I couldn't relate at all. I was this young guy who had very little life experience. This family had gone through this tragic event. And I'm just there trying, you know, to do my best to comfort the family in some very difficult circumstances. And I really felt way out of my league. It's not always the best time to start quoting Bible verses, you know, and saying, oh, this is God's will and all that. Like, just, I did everything in my power to be very, very careful. But I'll never forget a family coming in who had gone through the exact same thing and were able to just talk in a way. And it was almost telepathic, you know. All they had to do was say, yeah, we know exactly what you're going through. And they told their story, and suddenly everything in the room just felt better. Didn't take the tragedy away, but everything. They felt they were not alone. Now they had someone who was totally empathetic and understanding of what they were experiencing in that moment. In fact, I remember the family saying, this is what's going to happen. You're going to start feeling this. And after a while, you're going to start feeling this. And I'm there taking notes. You know what I mean? I'm there taking notes. I said, okay, seminary didn't teach me this. Right? This is the best lesson, you know, but it was absolutely, and to feel the relief in the room, no offense to me, but to feel the relief in the room when that family walked in was just unbelievable, unbelievable. So, you know, this sort of is a really difficult passage when people say you've got to have more faith and God will answer prayer. You know, you gotta, you know, pray harder, or you, all of that kind of stuff. I'm not sure I could pray harder than the Apostle Paul. If you think you can, then go for it. Yeah. Add me to your list. please, all right? Add me to your list. All right. Okay, so that, you know, there's one side of healing, all right? I only got 5 minutes to do the last side of healing, okay? So this message did start out about healing, and I want to take us to James because of all the passages that have the most difficulty when it comes to this whole topic of healing, it's this one. James 5, 13 to 18. And James writes, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray." Isn't that interesting? The very first thing he says, if you're suffering hardship, just pray. Okay? In fact, earlier in the book, he says, if you lack wisdom, just ask God for it. I love that particular passage. If you lack wisdom, just ask God for it. And he's not gonna say dummy. He's gonna say, here's what you should know. That's beautiful. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Amen. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Definitely one of the most difficult passages in the entire Bible. Okay, it's a hard passage. Okay, but here's what I know as a pastor of 30 years. I know many times when this passage was totally true. I know many times, even in this church, that the elders gathered together and prayed for somebody. And we saw wonderful things happen. I don't know how many times I've had somebody come up to me and say, remember that scan I got 3 months ago? Well, I just went to the doctors and it's all gone. And they can't explain why. It's happened more times than I can possibly number. But what about the times when it doesn't happen? That's where this passage becomes trouble. It's one of the most, like I said, hotly debated passages. The one line that just has all kinds of people in knots is, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and the Lord will make you well. There are countless, countless scholars that say this really is pointing to the spiritual component, not just the physical. That if there's one thing that Christ will do in a person's life who has asked for healing is forgive them, redeem them, heal them of the spiritual distance that exists between them in that present moment and God. That the anointing of oil is the setting that person aside and setting that person aside for the will of God to be exercised. Okay? And admittedly, you know, that's the way I see the passage. If it is God's will to heal you, he'll do that if it's his will. But we've just seen from the example of the Apostle Paul that is not always the case. That if God is going to say no to the Apostle Paul, he just might say no to you. And that's not an easy thing to admit, right? That's such a hard thing to admit. How can the God of the possible, who can take the impossible and do what we could never humanly achieve? But there are times where we don't understand, but we just have to trust. And it's not always easy. But what is recognized in this passage without getting into a whole bunch of, because I've really kind of run out of time and I apologize for that. But the importance of prayer, that prayer is vitally important, that you can't ignore how many times the word pray or prayer is part of this passage. In fact, the majority of James has this kind of lean into this divine given blessing of being able to lift every concern that you have in your life to the very throne room of God. Okay? I like what Jen Wilkins says about this particular passage. The prayer of faith is a faith not in a particular outcome, but in the God of all outcomes. Jen Wilkins. And that's, and we pray with expectation. We pray with the desire of our hearts and hopefully align them with the desire of God's heart. But here is, you know, the last point I want to make, because again, we're short of time here. The finished work of Jesus on the cross is primarily a work of healing. Do you know that? That when we talk about the cross of Jesus Christ, that it is primarily a work of healing. It's healing from the ravages of sin. It's healing our broken relationship with God. It's healing our broken relationship, even within myself and with others. It's healing from an identity crisis. It's healing from a broken past. Jesus is the great healer. What else does it heal? Okay, I'm going to open this up. What else is Jesus the great healer of? Your mind. Broken hearted?
Welfare.
Health.
Basic fear.
Relationship. Status. Relationships.
Lack of hope.
Finances.
Freedom.
Failure. All of those things that, humanly speaking, become a barrier or a wall or something that we see as a deficiency in our lives are in Christ given new hope, given new perspective, and that in itself is what abundant life is all about. Abundant life is living in the fullness of Christ, trusting in Him, learning from Him, and living life with a much bigger hope than we could have had if we had lived it without Him. Amen?
Amen?
Can I pray for you? And let me just say thanks for giving me your ear this morning on a really, really tough topic, and we could have gone on and on. But Jesus is the great healer. And no matter where we're looking, be it the Olympics, be our next door neighbor, they need Jesus. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these two passages. Lord, I'm especially struck with the passage out of 2 Corinthians with the great Apostle Paul and all that he accomplished. And yet, Lord, he lived with something because you were guarding him from becoming arrogant, prideful. He recognized that if there was anything that he would boast about, it was boasting in his weakness so that Christ's power could be manifest through him, and that with every person that he engaged, every message that he talked about, people weren't seeing him, but seeing Christ through him. We even have passages in Acts and other passages where people are saying, hey, he's not that great a speaker. And yet, the power that he exemplified, because he was weak in you, he was weak in himself, but you were strong through him. Lord, that's our prayer, that we would continue to trust you wholeheartedly, to be blessed by you, because we are surrendering ourselves and our lives to you, trusting you for all our lives, so that you can work through us for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.